the Fox Cities Score Chapter, and News Talk 1150 WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, here is Biz Talk.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. It's good to be here this time.
Yeah, how was the golf last week, Randy?
it was just fine. I'll have to start reading that calendar that we put together. I think it's an important piece of information to keep track of.
Yeah, you don't want to talk about your score, though, do you?
Not in the least.
Okay. We want to wish everybody out there who served in this our country in the military a very sincere, happy Memorial Day weekend. We have our blessings today because of a lot of sacrifice made by lots of folks going way back. So to all you veterans out there and all of you civilians who've worked in defense of our country and all of those EMS guys and policemen and firemen, happy Memorial Day from SCORE. We have a great show for you this morning. It's a very innovative, creative, energizing show. This is a story, if you listen to Joe talk about his business, you're going to be inspired to follow the dream you might be talking about with your spouse or your business partner or your brother or your sister. I'd like to welcome this morning our guest, Joe Nagin. Joe is founder and owner of Home Building Technology Services, LLC, located right here in the valley in Kaukauna. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Randy.
Good to have you here.
How are you doing this morning, Joe?
Just fine. I'm glad to see you again.
I'm glad to have you here. We're glad to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about your background. And give us an introduction to you and your business. What do you do?
Well, my current business, Home Building Technology Services, is a private consulting business. I do consulting primarily with new residential home building, both for consumers and for the construction industry as well. I do training under private contract for utility companies, building organizations, and manufacturers.
And you've been doing this for how long?
Since 1998, full-time.
Full-time, 98.
Yes.
You kind of got into it. We'll talk about that in the show a little bit. But if folks wanted to get a hold of you, Joe, where could they find you? You have a website or an email address or a phone number?
Yeah, it currently, being that I'm limited in my service availability, I don't have a website currently, but we're working on that. We're building one, as well as with my new company that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yep.
Currently, the best way to get a hold of me is by email address, and that is jnagan@wildblue.net, or you can Google my name and something interesting usually will pop up.
Oh, yeah, I found a nice profile on you this morning or last night when I was Googling your name, and it's good stuff. Joe, tell us, what sort of a market do you service? I mean, you started out, and what do you service, just the Fox Valley area?
Well, it originally started out as a service locally, but as I gained a little bit more momentum and exposure, both regionally and then nationally, now I've been on the Midwest circuit doing training for quite a few years. About 5 years ago, I was on the national circuit with most of the national organizations that train area that we call building science. I was on the national circuit until my medical problems, and then I cut it back to local.
Sure.
But I service mainly the Midwest here, and especially in Wisconsin.
And in order to help understand just how valuable your skills are, you have a certification that you're just one of five?
I'm certified in mechanical residential ventilation design, installation, and commissioning. And I'm also certified in what we call building science as well.
It's one of five in the country, isn't it?
Yes, on the mechanical ventilation side, yes.
That's amazing. I mean, what sort of products or services do you offer? Who are your customers?
Well, primarily, the goal of my business is to help people when they're building a new home. Primarily, that's my primary service, so that I could offer consulting similar to what you would go to talk to a lighting consultant or a designer of your living room layout or whatever. But I get into the building performance, such as energy cost, building performance related to ventilation, indoor air quality, comfort. And then we can help people select building products similar to what they would if they were going to have a designer come in and help them with the layout of furniture, fabric colors.
So do the homeowners contact you as well as home builders?
Well, that's always been interesting. It's always been a challenge to figure out who we're driving to, because obviously we have a lot of value that we can provide to a new construction project. It depends on who's got the interest level. If there's a builder that wants to offer energy-related features or enhanced performance to their customer base, they may be my customer one week. Another one may be a consumer that maybe listens to a radio show or goes on a website, finds out that there are ways to control energy costs on a home that's not built yet. They may call then and say, hey, I found out about your services. Can you help me take a look at the profile of the building that we haven't even got done yet? So those I really like.
Sure.
Yeah, Joe, you've used the terminology a couple times already when we were talking earlier, too, is you use the term building performance. Could you just kind of give me a wrap-up of what that really is all about, or some of the things? I know that's a pretty broad base, but just some idea of what building performance means.
Well, sure. In terms of just the general word performance, if someone said, well, my car performs well, that could be that the gas mileage is good. It could be that it's draft-free and comfortable and quiet. We look at the same way when we look at homes. From the overall performance, people expect the home to be comfortable. They expect it to be draft-free. They expect it to have reasonable indoor air quality. And then the magic part is they expect something to happen when they get a bill in the mail from the utility company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Down a little,
yeah.
Huh?
So
yeah.
Those could kind of be a snapshot there, Randy.
Okay. So, but you're trying, in other words, to help people save money, be efficient in what they're doing with their building.
Well, that's correct. And the challenge with a new home, unlike buying an existing home, you can go on the Internet and get the average monthly utility bills for a home that's legally for sale.
Right.
But how do you project what it's going to do on a new home? There's no reference point. But we specialize in that because we have a real sophisticated software program, plus all these years of experience, that we can actually take their building plans, model the house, and actually project operating cost ahead of time. And with the experience we have on building failures, we can point them to areas that may or may normally not be addressed in new construction, tell them what we find in existing new homes, and help them avoid some of the major problems that we see.
It sounds like a lot of the things that you do is involved in air handling and air movement. Is that my... on the right track?
Well, it certainly is a major part of it, because obviously no matter what you do for mechanical heating and cooling equipment, it's certainly necessary that you get the air to the right areas in the right amount. When it comes to ventilation, people expect bath fans to work. If they buy a range hood, they expect it to work. If they buy a whole house ventilation system, they may expect it to work, but in most cases they don't, which is what we specialize in design up front.
Joe, you're also a major contributor and I think a co-author on the Focus on Energy program. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, sure. As I went out and did private research starting in 1985, I developed a pretty good background in building performance, if you will, in what we now call building science. And so I developed a small consulting following early on in the late 80s, early 90s, and then in Wisconsin, when the public benefits legislation was passed in 1998, the Focus on Energy umbrella of programs was developed. And then I was asked to help co-author a program for the new construction program, which I did, and I'm still technical director for that program statewide.
Okay. Now, there's an interesting genesis to all of this. This all began a long time ago. You were sharing with us, you lived in a little apartment above a shed, a garage you built, and you weren't happy with the performance of your living quarters. Can you share that story and take a few minutes?
Well, sure.
That brings us to the future.
Well, sure. That was classic, because back when I was single for many years, I built a small apartment above my shop, and it was maybe 1,200 square feet. I still live there today, by the way. And I hanging around with a lot of builder friends and a lot of mechanical friends, and I was asking them how to do this and how to do that, because I wanted to do as much of it as I could possibly. And I get it all done. I was all fired up. And after living in it that first year, I thought, wow, this thing is uncomfortable. It's drafty. The utility bills are not what I expected. What's up with that? So when I started asking some of my same friends now, hey, why is this happening? They didn't know. They said, well, it's just the way it is. You did it like everybody does. But I have a pretty good mechanical background, having taken the Fox Valley Tech Associate or Automotive Technology program back in the early 70s. I thought, okay, there's got to be a way to figure this out. Nobody seemed to have any answers on how a house works, how it's supposed to work, and if you have a problem, how do you detect it and figure it out? So I started snooping around a little bit on my own. Found a magazine ad for a building conference that was going to be held in 1990 in Colorado through the Energy Efficient Building Association. I tore the ad out, went home and called the 800 number, and next thing I know, I was sitting in Denver, Colorado.
And you were meeting a lot of people out there. You met one gentleman who introduced you to a lot of very influential people.
Yeah, it was great because the Canadians had done most of the advanced work on real high-performance housing, and then it migrated over to Alaska, to the Alaskan Home Craftsman Program, and then to Minnesota. But when I was in Colorado in 1990, I went there as a homeowner. But this was a Builders Association right. meeting for really advanced building, and I just went as a homeowner. I was wandering around downtown, and I forgot to take my name tag off, and a gentleman came up and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, hey, I see you're from Wisconsin. I was kind of embarrassed. I said, well, how do you know? And I thought, I forgot the name tag. So I looked down, there's my name tag. But the gentleman was from Madison, good friend of mine now, Kenny Gehring, and he introduced himself and asked me what I was doing there. I told him a little bit what I was doing, and he said, well, I'm going to get you tuned up here. He said, I'm going to introduce you to all of the big wheels. So immediately that very first year, 1990, as a homeowner, I met Oliver Jurup, all the people from the Advanced House Projects in Canada, the R2000 program people, all the folks from the Advanced program in Alaska, everybody that was on the leading edge of building science, some of the same folks that I still associate with today. So I just had a very good in, very unusual, but it was spectacular.
Your motivation was to have a more comfortable residence for yourself, and look where it took you.
Well, yeah, it's pretty interesting, yeah. I'm still living there, by the way.
I'm sure it's comfortable.
No, I refuse to fix it because it's my motivation to get up every day and help people.
Okay. Reminder for you.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a good story.
Yeah, but again, yeah, you're always looking to find a solution to the problem is what you're working on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now what's interesting, though, as any type of consulting business, you have enough historical background on factual issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So since we've looked at buildings for all these years, there's no secret on how buildings work, but it's just a whole different perspective from a consumer where when you're building a new home, look at all the choices you have to make. They're just buried. You know, with choices.
You know, it's interesting, Joe, that hearing your story like that, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to open my business, I'll rent a place, and I'll put some inventory in there or do my service or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they expect the people to come to them, and hopefully they will. But you probably didn't realize it, but you were building a network, and you were people finding out who Joe Nagin is. And every opportunity you had to do something in your industry, your passion, it took you to the Focus on Energy program. Mm-hmm. You've authored articles. You become one of five certified trainers in the country. It's that passion and motivation and that networking that really helps to make a company successful.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's exactly what I tell people today, Tony and Randy. I may go to a workshop that has no immediate interest or value that I would perceive, but I always go there to rub elbows. I always polish up the elbows because there's going to be somebody there that has something I need to know. I just don't know who they are yet.
Yep. Right, exactly. We're going to take our first break for the show here. We'll come back on the other side, continue our conversation with Joe Nagin, who is the founder and owner of Home Building Technology Services, LLC. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY. Real local radio.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Albertson Hailing CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting, from startup to sell-off, and more. They specialize in creating comfortable financial management plans for you and your business. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Albertson Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Ridgestone Bank. When it comes to business lending, you know we don't have boxes. I'm here with Christy Schwan from Stellaris Employee Benefits. We help Christy with a business buyout in a unique area of lending, the service industry.
I did talk with other banks that had some significant limitations on how they might be able to help me. I didn't have any hard assets on which they could base their valuation. Ridgestone Bank's financing decisions were not based on hard assets. Instead, what I had was cash flow, so they were able to, again, look at things in a very unique way and in a way that allowed me to purchase companies in what was typically a complex situation, and they made it very, very simple for me. Because of their flexibility, because of the range of options that they provided for me, I don't think I'd be sitting where I am today if I hadn't worked with Ridgestone Bank.
Ridgestone Bank, listening to your story and finding a way to make it work. Whatever your it is. On the web at Ridgestone.com. That's Ridgestone.com. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. We're talking this morning with Joe Nagin, who is the founder and the owner of Home Building Technology Services, LLC, a very exciting company, a single employee company. Joe is the brain trust. He's the doer. He's the strategic planner. He's up 25 hours a day reading and networking and just having a really good time. I've had the pleasure of knowing Joe for probably 2 years now, 2 or 3 years, and the guy's just full of energy. He's very sincere, and he's telling us about his business and what he does. Joe, tell us now on the services you offer through your company. You were talking about working with homeowners who are building new homes and builders who want to build new homes to make them more functional and be more utility conscious and so on. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about can a house be too tight? You got to have some air exchange going on in a house.
Oh, okay.
There's got to be a balance there, right?
Well, you almost sound like we're at a bar, because that's the type of question that comes up at a bar.
Give me a bud, will you? Is that in America?
You get a couple of guys talking about moisture problems in a new home, and they're saying right away that it's too tight. Well, here's the deal. If you ask somebody, okay, if you think buildings are too tight, then tell me, how do you make them just leaky enough?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's always been my question.
Well, but there is no way to doing that.
Okay.
Because how would you determine how tight to make it, and then without any air pressure difference, no matter how big the holes are, there's no airflow anyway. And then where would you put the holes? Next to your chair? Next to Randy's chair?
Mm-hmm. I put it by
where
Randy's chair.
Well, that's right. But see, that's why what happens here, though, is that conversation is very prominent. You go to the website, Google buildings that are too tight, and or moisture problems, and they'll come back and say homes are too tight. Well, that's not the problem. It's the result of a home being built well, but they missed the ventilation part of it. And even as you and I talked, Tony, quite a bit, which got me into my next part of my business endeavor, is that most basic ventilation in new homes built today simply don't work. And I can say that because of the fact that most of them aren't tested for function, so how would you know it works? You can hit the light switch and the lights come on. There's a visual response that it works. I can turn on the switch for your bath fan. I can hear it running, but it doesn't mean that there's any real amount of airflow.
It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
So historically, the buildings got tighter with better mechanical equipment, building codes, but nobody paid attention as a consumer to the ventilation part. So when bath fans don't work now, the moisture remains in the home. It becomes a problem. Range hoods aren't vented to the outside, aren't required to by building code. But the homes are tighter. So you automatically have that problem. It's kind of a collision between two opposing
but
issues.
It can be managed.
Oh, we do it all the time, and we have some of the tightest houses in Wisconsin in the country.
And this sounds like you've now just described the problem. How did that motivate you figuring that problem out to get into the business you're in, and how did that move along for you? How did you develop the solution?
Well, what happened initially was that when I looked at how basic the issue was, I mean, we've been testing homes in our new program since 1998. We've tested like 28,000 homes. And every bath fan in every one of those homes was tested, plus the private work that we do, in addition to the 32 consultants that do similar services to mine around the state. I don't do this all myself. We came up with a pretty good basic idea. Okay, if something doesn't work, then how is it supposed to provide value?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been reporting this information to fan manufacturers for years, and they said, well, the fan is okay. It's all the other stuff hooked up to the fan that's causing the problem. So we just looked at the basics of what was going on in buildings and how people operated them, their appropriation of budget money up front and what they were looking at during the design of a home. Bath fans and mechanical ventilation are rarely discussed on the construction of a new home. There are way too many other big shot items that require more attention.
Right. Well, the general feeling is you just, you know, go to the supplier, grab the one off the shelf, and that should be fine.
Yeah.
Or the cheapest one.
Yeah.
You know, you always buy that $2 one instead of the $10.
Well, and
one.
See, I don't have a problem with the $2 one as long as it works.
Ah.
But you're never going to know if it works unless you test it.
All right.
Yeah.
And by testing it, what do you do? What do you find out when you're testing it?
Well, I mean, let's just say that you did a minimum grade bath fan in a home, and the minimum required by state law here is 50 CFM or 50 cubic feet a minute.
It's got to move 50 cubic feet of air a minute.
That's right.
Okay.
But the fans are only rated sitting on a shelf with nothing attached to them. No ductwork, no grills, no fittings, nothing.
No vent cap
nothing.
Or valves.
That's right. Yeah. So when you put it in the house, somebody installs the fan, somebody hooks up some ductwork, somebody hooks up a fitting somewhere to get it outside of the building, and then somebody hits the switch to make sure the motor turns. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it's moving any amount of air. It means it's moving. Well, we have a digital flow hood device that we can simply hold up to the exhaust grill on the fan, and it's digital readout, so immediately we can see what type of airflow we're actually getting.
Every corner can reduce airflow, can it?
Well,
if
that's right.
If that tube is turning a couple corners, that slows down the airflow.
And recently I had the pleasure of fixing a house over in Kimberly that was built in the late 1990s, right about 1999, 2000. And back then there wasn't much attention paid to bath fans or ventilation either. And we tested a couple of standard fans. One of them was doing zero, and the other one was only doing 10 cubic feet of air per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeowner reported to me, the rooms are just soaked all the time in the wintertime. Right. The windows are just iced up. Everything is just soaking wet. And I said, well, no kidding. They have to be. Whatever you don't remove in the bathroom has
stays
to go to the rest of the house.
Yeah.
So anyway, we wound up fixing that. But it's pretty basic. But even it's a little embarrassing today, as high a quality of housing as we have built into Fox Valley. And I believe we have some of the best in the entire United States built right here.
That's good to hear.
I'm not kidding you.
That's good to
hear. It's just that up front, when you have to allocate money on a budget, unless somebody is actually asking the question, what about the ventilation for my bathroom? Can you assure me that when I'm taking a nice steamy shower in the morning, I can look at the mirror, I can see myself without carving myself up with the razor.
Right.
Is the fan quiet enough that I can listen to HBY radio in the morning on the news while I'm getting cleaned up?
Absolutely.
And if you don't ask those questions, then you're going to get whatever they gave you.
Right.
Because nobody allocates it. And then we can come out later on and help you fix it.
Okay. Well, that's a really great explanation, Joe. Thanks. We're going to take our next break right now. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Haling CPAs, they work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and maximize profits. Through a variety of services like asset protection, tax planning, and more, let them guide you through a smooth financial plan. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or Green Bay at 405-8549. Albertson Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Haling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You've been looking for a new house.
Hey, this one's nice.
You're searching online and touring open houses.
Ooh, I like this one.
It's time to get pre-approved. And nobody makes it faster or easier than Fox. Get free pre-approval for your loan right now. Come into one of 17 Fox locations or get pre-approved online. You can also check your loan rate online. How easy is that? Just visit foxcu.org.
Okay, that was really easy.
Once you find the home of your dreams, don't let the stress of the home loan get in your way. Talk to the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Just 3% down on your loan.
Fox made it happen.
You can find the home of your dreams. Fox, helping you make life happen. Equal housing opportunity lender.
Fox Communities.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. We're talking this morning with Joe Nagin, the founder and owner of Home Building Technology Services, LLC. We're learning a lot about home energy, how homes function, and we're learning about air exchange and drafts and how to manage all that. Before we continue our conversation with Joe, we'd like to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter in Appleton. We're one of about 350 chapters around the country. It's a national organization. Our chapter was founded 40 years ago, so this is our 40th birthday year. Happy birthday, Randy, and all the rest of SCORE.
Right.
But we also have 55 mentors or volunteers who are experts in their field with experience, like in law, accounting, marketing, HR, banking, cash flow, process workflow. We have those mentors who are willing to work with you on a free and confidential basis. All you have to do is go to www.foxcities.score.org. Fill out the application for a mentoring request, hit the send button. Probably within 2 days, a mentor will be contacting you to set up a schedule to discuss the challenge or the opportunity you're looking at. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac. We service an 8-county area, and SCORE is for the life of your business. It's not just a one-time meeting. If you want to meet for 5 years, we have mentors who've done that with clients. So www.foxcities.score.org. If you'd like to get some free confidential assistance from some very experienced, sincere people who want to help you succeed. We also conduct seminars in addition to our mentoring. And Randy, tell us what's coming up on the calendar for our chapter this year.
Right. At this particular point in time, we have scheduled the next upcoming Simple Steps program. Simple Steps is a 5-part program that we do on how to start your business, what you need to know, and all the things that are involved in getting going. That program is going to be starting in September. The first program is going to be on September the 21st. That program is held in the morning, and it'll be at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop in downtown Appleton. We'll then have the rest of the programs for the following 4 weeks. In the evenings at the SCORE office, and those run from 6 to 9. Each of the programs is $25 each for the sections, and you can register. We will have the registration up soon on the website at foxcities.score.org. So please, for that and any other seminars and programs we have, keep an eye, go out to the website on a regular basis and double check, because we also have some other good things coming up. They haven't been scheduled yet, but we're going to have some in-depth programs that we do as partners with CAP Services. So,
yep. Thanks, Randy. We do a lot of seminars, and we SCORE National also has a lot of webinars on that website, foxcities.score.org. So check it out, and we'd be very happy to help you. Remember, SCORE for the life of your business. And finally, I'd like to thank the sponsors who help bring BizTalk to you each weekend. Those sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts and Hailing CPAs, Legal Business Edge. Also, Ridgestone Bank is a new sponsor, so thanks for joining us, Ridgestone. Hey, Ridgestone Bank is located in Kaukauna along Highway 41, and they specialize in SBA lending. That's all they do. So if you're a business owner and you need some good creative lending opportunities to consider, check them out at Ridgestone Bank. Also want to thank Brian Gottlieb at Tundraland for joining us as a sponsor, and Candeo Creative, that's Zach Pawlowski in Oshkosh, who helps maintain our website biztalkwithscore.com. If you're listening to this program, would like to re-listen, probably next Wednesday it'll be out on our website. We archive our shows, biztalkwithscore.com. Also want to thank Jerry Mader and Larry Desch at the Business News for promoting our program in their biweekly periodical, The Business News. If you're in business or considering going into business and not subscribed to the Business News, for only $20 a year, you really should be, because you're going to be informed about what's going on in the business community around East Central Wisconsin. It'll help you out, and it might give you some exposure. So back to our guest, Joe. Joe, we've been talking about Home Building Technology Services, LLC, and you've been working on that business. You got great credentials. You're one of 5 certified ventilation technicians, or I forget the exact title, in the country. You've helped co-author the Focus on Energy program here in Wisconsin. But that's not the end of your journey. You are a very creative, innovative guy. The wheels are always turning. We could hear that in your history about being a homeowner is too drafty, so you went to the Builders Conference, Colorado, to find out how to fix it. And you still live in a drafty home because you're reminded of it. Great. But you're innovative, creative. What's going on? What are you doing now? What are you working on?
Well, as I talked briefly about the mechanical ventilation interest that I have, working with a lot of manufacturers over the years, you know, looking at new products, kind of tracking the industry, I kept continuing to see this problem with basic function of basic bath fans in homes. And over the years, I'd asked different manufacturers to take a look at it, see if they could help us out, and they weren't really too interested. So I just thought, once again, okay, it's just time to dig in. And I looked at the major problem, and I came up with a major solution in terms of a product that I'm working on. So I actually took existing components from different pieces and made a couple of mock-ups in my shop, took them to job sites, did testing in my office, as you saw, my test equipment, and then I took these mocked-up prototypes out to a job site and then looked at the resulting performance. Mm-hmm. It was pretty incredible. Went through a couple of different renditions on that, and then I kept thinking, wow, I should get this to market. I should really produce this, and so I'm working on that right now.
Well, I'll give out the phone numbers right now, Joe, if someone would like to call in and ask you a question about what you do or how you did it. If you're in Appleton, you can reach us at 281-1150, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, you can reach us at 1-866-887-1150. Joe, tell us a little bit about the process of going to market with a new product.
Well, that's been a whole nother learning curve. It was just incredible. First off, I got to thank you folks at SCORE for helping me out, because I've been to many of the workshops that Randy has put on, and even when they may not have been the topic at the time, I always find interest and value in those workshops and the contacts that I've made. But in developing the new product, it was sort of interesting, because I thought, okay, I figured out this physical product, and I was actually making ones and selling them to local builders, and they were proving that the concept worked real well, but I was making these things in my shop. And after a while, I thought, okay, I can't continue to do that. You'd never be able to scale it and get it anywhere making them by hand. So I looked at the process of getting them manufactured, injection molding, and so forth. Then I looked at the whole issue of patenting. Okay, is this thing worth patenting? So I went through that process as well, and both of those were very, very interesting learning curves.
I was going to say, on the patenting process, could you kind of walk us through some of the good and bad stumbling blocks you hit on that thing?
Well, absolutely, because I had never done this before, and I don't do a lot of work on the Internet. I prefer to talk to people face-to-face, mm-hmm. local. But anyway, I did a little snooping around on patenting, and then I contacted a friend of mine, a local business person, to see if they knew a local patent attorney, because I wanted to at least investigate the issue of patenting. Well, the patent attorney shows up, really nice gentleman, and the first thing he said after a little bit of information, he said, have you had any public disclosure? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, has this thing been out in the public where somebody could see it? And I said, well, I did install one of these up mm-hmm. in a house north of Green Bay to try it. Okay, he said, that's public disclosure. Now you got 1 year to file. And I thought, wait a minute. He said, then when did you do this? Well, I got out the pictures. I take mm-hmm. thousands of pictures every month. I take pictures of everything I do. So I get the picture out, and it was like in June, and then we had like 3 months to get this patent. He said, okay, we got 3 months if you're going to try and file, because there's a 1 year to file.
Right. Yep.
So then it kind of put me in a bind there a little bit, though, either to file or not to file. So that was my first major learning curve on that. It forced my hand. I went ahead. Then we were able to pull out and do the patent research, patent application research, product research. That was a major item to get started.
So, in other words, if you're thinking of doing a patent, you better know the timing and where you're at in the in the cycle.
Yeah, you want to protect everything.
Sure. Yeah.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Sarah. Do you have a question for Joel? Sarah?
Yeah, hello.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. I have a question for Joe. I missed the first part of the program, and I wanted to learn more about how an individual homeowner can have you come out and test their bathroom fans. And the second part of my question is, do you have any solution, or are you working on any such solution for dryer vents? Oh. We have in our house a dryer that the only way to vent it is through about 20, 30 feet of the tubing that you go to the outside. That's the only way we can vent it, and we know it doesn't work properly.
Okay, excellent. Two questions. Very good. First one, it's easy enough for us to come out and test your bath fans. It doesn't take 5 minutes at the most. We can at least identify what the potential is of that fan, and then if we have to, we might have to crawl in the attic, take a look to find a solution. So that part of it is very straightforward to do. A lot of times after we test the fan, then we could provide you with a group of local folks that are capable of fixing it and what type of equipment to look for. So that one's pretty straightforward, identifying what's happening. Then the dryer fan is another one that's interesting. If you have a long distance with a dryer, it obviously gets dragged down in terms of airflow. But they do offer booster fan kits for clothes dryers that you can actually install in the actual dryer ducting made to offset those long-distance runs. They have a pressure switch that's activated by the airflow when you first turn the dryer on. This new fan now recognizes that there's air coming out of the clothes dryer. Mm-hmm. And you can improve clothes drying capability massively and even make it better than it would have been with a short duct run.
Yep. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
And would I be able to call you to have that evaluated? Or is there a reference you can give me to call?
Well, there's actually a company locally here that I see at quite a few of the shows that does just clothes dryer ducting. I'm drawing a little bit of a mental block here on the owner, but there is a gentleman
give out your phone number. Maybe Sarah can call you next week.
Sure.
And you can look up that name and give Sarah that name.
I could do that. Sure. Yeah, my phone number at the office is 766-7578. I'd be happy to help you out on that.
I will be calling then. Thank you, Joe.
What was that number, Joe? Thank you for the call, Sarah.
Yeah, my office number is 766-7578 in Kokona.
And your email address was?
janagan@wildblue.net.
Okay, thanks for the call, Sarah. That was a good question.
Okay, Joe, to get back to some of the things we're talking about developing your business and so on, the patenting, of course, is always something that everybody has questions about. But as far as kind of take us through a little bit of some of the steps as far as developing your business, developing the plan that you have now and how you came about that type of thing, besides just a lot of excitement and getting into it. But
well, as I talked to Tony several times already, my original business launch was pretty much seat of the pants. This new product development, I'm working with Tony and a couple other local advisors to help me do this correctly, because now I have a lot more investment potential, a lot more return on this product. And now, because of the patenting and other issues that I may license this product to a manufacturer or sell direct to someone, I have to be a little more careful on it. And the patent process, I would just say that people, if they're thinking about doing a product, they at least should talk to a patent attorney before they do anything, just to find out some of those little minefields that I was not aware of up front.
How big is the playing field?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When do you step out of bounds?
Yeah. Yep. And then, of course, we did market research. Most of my other consulting business had provided most of the basic market research in terms of the extent of the problem.
Right.
I had investigated other products for years. I paid a second patent attorney now to do the market research, the patent research.
Yep, that's another important
patent
part.
Search on that. So it gets to be a little complicated, but I did find, again, talking to a lot of local folks in the know, that they were able to direct me to local people to help me. I'm trying to do as much as I can with that locally, and I found a patent attorney here locally. Both of the patent attorneys I've worked with are local, very well set up in their business as well.
And it's really a question of bringing a team together and having you're the orchestra leader and all the team members are sitting out in the and playing instruments.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to kind of orchestrate everything and keep it together.
Yes, I was able even to find a local company that has services in the new product development. So I'm working with a company right over here in Neenah that provides new product development mentoring. And this company I've been working with for 3 years now during the development of my new product. So I can't possibly do enough research on my own.
Right.
So I'm 62 now, and I realize you have to reach out and ask for help. And there's enough local help, enough contacts through the SCORE organization, for instance, that can lead you to local people to help you with the expertise needed to help avoid a lot of these problems.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as a SCORE mentor, I have to ask you the obvious question, and that is, do you have a written business plan now, something that's in the works, or how are you handling that?
Well, this is good. Thanks a lot, Randy, for pimping on me there. But I am working. Matter of fact, I mentioned it before I got here this morning. I was working on fine-tuning one of the sections in my business plan. I do realize now that when you're at this level of business where I'm trying to sell a product, which may have a large potential market impact, I do have to be careful, and you do have to have a plan. I was able to run by the seat of my pants with my one-man consulting business, but in this area, it's not possible, and it wouldn't be good business risk management either.
Yeah, I think you're right, Joe, because the companies you're talking to are very large conglomerate companies, and they've got all these financial and marketing plans. They've got them.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone like you to come in with an idea and not have your plan, you're really at their mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know if you're getting a good deal. You have to be able to negotiate, and you do that better by understanding your plan and the reasoning behind all the numbers and the market data.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing you're going through is what every business owner goes through if they're going to grow their company, whether it's developing a new product, it's developing a new service, or simply just adding another location like Culver's. Randy, Culver's started in the Appleton area, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have about 600 stores all the way across the country, all the way down to Texas and points in between. But they had to build a process. They had to make it duplicatable. They had to have metrics to measure the performance of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're working on.
Well, and I've been very fortunate, Tony, that you've been willing to help me out on quite a bit of the financial stuff.
Yeah, that's
and fine. other local experts here in the Valley have been helping me. And this should be a much better result in terms of this product launch other than my consulting. The product being that it's going to be out to the public, there's all the risk management involved in all of that. And even just having the business plan in draft at this point, working through each of those sections, identifying what's necessary, helps me keep an eye on going forward.
Exactly. We're going to come back after this last break. We're going to wrap up our show with Joe Nagin, and I'm anxious to hear his biz tip. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
At Albertson Hailing CPAs, your success is their success. They can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. They offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Albertson Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
And welcome back to Biz Talk. We're here this morning with Joe Nagin, who is the founder and the owner of a real exciting company named Home Building Technology Services, LLC. And we learned this morning that Joe, living in Osh in Kakana, in the same uncomfortable apartment that he built 20-some years ago because he wants to be reminded of what it takes to make it comfortable. Very interesting perspective. I applaud that. But he's a nationally, internationally known expert on mechanical ventilation in residential properties. And it's just a great story, and I hope that you've enjoyed some of his conversation. Joe, tell us a little bit about product development. You have this idea now for this new product. We talked about it in the last segment.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the challenges you went into some of that in the last segment, but how do you bring it home? What do you have to do to bring it home?
Well, obviously you got to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with this thing? I mean,
sure.
Am I going to sell it locally? Am I going to try and sell it myself?
You have to determine the value of this thing.
Well, that was another issue. So all of those things are actually quite well spelled out in that scorebook,
the book
right. that you folks hand out at the workshops,
yes.
the business steps book,
yes.
just spectacular, where it tells you how to evaluate the potential of a product,
yes.
how to price it, how to market it, the whole shebang.
How to identify the market for your product.
That's right. And so some of the challenges I had was getting it from that original rough handmade prototype into a physical prototype so I could show it to someone in more of a professional form. So I had to locate prototype companies, was able to do that, and that was pretty expensive in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The attorney fees for the patenting actually was quite palatable, working with local people, very professional. And then figuring, okay, what am I going to do with it? I was fortunate enough to have a couple of leads in terms of being able to market the product. We're still working on that, as you know. But I think that a lot of people maybe like to watch the Shark Tank show, and you see people coming on in that six-minute bit and are making $10 million selling something in a jar. It's a little bit more difficult than that, but I think that you really want to look at working with somebody local that has some expertise in that area, somebody especially like through SCORE that's got business contacts, people to help direct you, even through that product development, because you can spend a ton of time and a reasonable amount of money and you may not get where you want. So looking back at how I did things now, I think I'm okay.
And market distribution is a challenge.
Right.
Now you've got your product patented. You've got it functioning. You've got it all ready for market. But now you have to find a way to let people know you have it.
Yep.
And you can do it yourself, or you can work with another company who
mm-hmm.
already might have a distribution network.
Yeah, I'm working on a possible strategic partnership with a larger player
sure.
that may help me get this product out to market. With the ability to market on my own. So I'll be generating a new company, starting a new company for the manufacturing of this product and distribution.
And one important thing, Joel, I think you use is you have an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly tell what that is.
Well, it's something that you would want to have in place so that anybody that comes in contact with your idea or your product, that you have them mm-hmm. sign that before explaining your product or showing it to them, because that's critical in terms of going forward with any type of patent application, even a provisional patent. You still have to be careful that you don't have any public
Somebody
disclosure.
Steals it from you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're getting to that point in the show here where I can probably ask you for your biz tip, if you would. We've covered a lot of ground here, but you want to give us what your biz tip is?
Well, thinking back and thinking about it over a cup of coffee this morning, my take on it for the listeners is that if you're going to start a new business or develop a product or even thinking about it, do yourself a huge favor. Contact someone through SCORE to get local people to help. Stay off of the internet is my advice, because it's not personal enough to help you with the massive, big decisions that need to be made. I find that they're much better done person to person with somebody locally, because you're going to have to deal with somebody locally when you go to get financing anyway.
Right, right.
So I would suggest you contact someone well ahead of time, help you lay out a plan to even do the developing of a product or a business idea.
Great idea.
Well, Joe, thank you for that recommendation on SCORE. We try to be there for folks who are in business or want to start a business.
Right.
We've got all those disciplines to help out. And every mentor has their own network of people.
Absolutely.
So it's, what is it, seven steps removed? Or
yep.
Now it's five steps removed?
I think it's, we'll settle for six.
Yeah.
But anyway,
but
Joe,
it's amazing.
Just one other thing, you know, talking about connecting and so on. How do we connect with you? You want to give us your phone number?
Sure.
Again?
You can contact me by phone at 766-7578. Of course, that's area code 920, mm-hmm. 766-7578. And my email address is jnagan@wildblue.net.
Joe, we have about a minute left. Tell us what What is on the horizon for you? What are you going to do with all this? Where does it end? I mean, what's your plan?
Yeah, well, I really became intrigued with the product development, and I've always had ideas for many years. So after I get this first project launched that you're helping me work on, then I hope to have a couple other ones that I've got on the drawing board and develop those and hopefully have a little bit less of a process involved on those with the learning curve from the first one.
So someday you'd like to either sell the company, sell the rights, or maybe one of your children might come into the process and be interested and want to take it over.
That'll be in my plan.
That's in your plan. You got to start planning now. You can't. That's not a one-year away thing. You gotta start. That's very good, Joe. Well, we want to thank you, Joe, for being our guest this morning. It was a really wonderful show, and I'm really glad to have you here.
All right. Thanks, Randy and Tony.
Yep. And Randy, we don't have a guest lined up next week yet, but we'll have one on the computer site. It's biztalkwithscore.com if you want to see who's coming up on next week's show and the following shows, or if you want to listen to any other shows that we've done. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to BizTalk and the Voice Note. You've been listening to BizTalk and WHBY, Real Local Radio.